Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. I mean, Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. It's always reserved for the one and only Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. How you been?
I'm fine, man. You're getting ready for the holiday, huh?
Yeah, well, I got to work all day today, but then I'm going to go down to see my mom on Thursday and my dad on Friday in the big city in Chicago.
Yeah, well, the weather's at least accommodating.
Well, that's the one advantage of global warming. It's milder and it gets cold later. Now, I think it stays cold later, too, so our springs are later, which is frustrating.
Dr. Craig, the conversation with, the Supreme Court took place yesterday, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and your thoughts. I mean, what do you think, Dr. Craig? You've been waiting on this. People have been waiting on this for a long time, a decade or more, to get a chance to at least have this heard, knowing that there have been some unscrupulous things that transpired from the years of Scott Walker and his band of merry men that have impacted and affected people in this state in a negative sense. And I will ask you, Dr. Craig, as you move around the state and, you've got the offices in different parts of the state, the Republicans who've had this control haven't done anything to help those constituents that they claim they were doing this for.
No, exactly. And this is proof that the threat to democracy predates Donald Trump. There are a lot of people who created a party that could embrace a Donald Trump, and that it's ongoing, even if Donald Trump is to leave the scene. And so when Scott Walker won election and he got a majorities in the assembly in the state Senate, because of the 2010 election was a very bad election for Democrats. Frankly, it's because the Obama administration didn't bail homeowners out, bail the people out. And that's why the recovery was so slow, only the banks. And so there was a huge economic mistake that President Obama and the economic team he appointed had, but they had full control. And that was when you redo the maps, that where the maps where legislative and districts are. And they used science and data and a huge bunch of public money to hire private lawyers to basically idiot proof the legislature, so there was no way it could produce anything but a large Republican majority in a 50-50 state. Now, I want to stop there, Earl, because when you have a party that's willing to stop at nothing to hold power and doesn't care at all about the principles of free government and democracy, and that is what this means, and I'll discuss that with any caller that wants to call in, including ones who are on the other side. There is no justification other than you don't really want a functioning democracy and you want a smaller group of people to rule over a larger group of people. And if we were a better functioning country right now, a healthy democracy, then neither party would go that far in the very competitive pursuit of power we have in the American election system. So that's the starting point. And there have been, so let's get over the legal niceties and all, the conservative justices, now in a majority, are offering all these legalistic reasons why it shouldn't be taken up now. It's an offense to democracy. We're not even a functioning democracy in this state. We haven't been for 12 years because the lawmaking power is dominated by one side, no matter what voters say, no matter what the popular vote is. And I think the lawsuit is very well done by Law Forward. I've read the whole case, and I think they're piggybacking on two other cases that were decided to throw out extreme partisan gerrymanders in Pennsylvania and North Carolina by their state Supreme Courts. And so don't know how the four justice majority, how they will come down, if they'll take all, if they'll agree to everything that's in the original case, Earl. And they're actual judges, so they will feel some legal limitations. But it is richer right now to have the conservative minority talking about precedent, and it's not right to take up maps they've just done when they had no concern for precedent whatsoever when they took power and throughout their when they had a majority. They're complete hypocrites, and they're about power, and they'll make any argument to rationalize it.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is really amazing to me, as you just stated, when you watch, you know, the pushback that you're hearing from these conservative justices who did not want to even have a dialogue and a conversation when they weren't in the majority. When they were in the majority, it was just, we're going to do it this way, and it does not matter what you think. This is what we are going to do. And so people fail to understand that. Brian Hagedorn was the one guy that you really kind of had at the time, Dr. Craig, you could at least think that he would be separate and look at things through a different prism. I don't know if he's going to do that now, but clearly those who were Rebecca Bradley clearly was one who now is acting as if maybe we can have a dialogue and a conversation, but as long as the Republicans were in total control, there was no conversation. And so I'll tell you, Dr. Craig, they're fearful that Democrats are going to do to them what they did to us. And I just don't believe that's the case, Dr. Craig. There's nothing that points in that direction. The Republicans are fearful that they're going to get a measure of what they've meted out over the last decade or more.
It's absolutely right. Hagedorn was the only actual judge. I disagree with a lot of what he concluded, but he was independent and was willing to oppose his own side. The other two, they did have three of them, just were going to vote for the conservative ideological position. By the way, Earl, then they have the audacity to say that Supreme Court justices shouldn't run on their values. Why should we have elections to elect state Supreme Court judges? On what basis would we do so if it wasn't based on their values, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's just unbelievable. They shouldn't be elected then. It's just complete gibberish.
So, Dr. Craig, you read the case. Give us some insight on what it really is. What's at the root of this, and just how important this case is.
Well, at the root of this is that it's a violation of equal protection. Having a free democratic government. There is one technical thing, which if they only ruled on this, it would be a more limited ruling, that there's just a straight out, they accepted maps that had a direct violation of the Constitution in black and white. That is non-contiguous districts. They have parts of districts aren't connected to the rest of the district that are, and these have been in the newspapers with pictures of them. It's amazing that the Supreme Court went and adopted those, the conservative Supreme Court, when that part was flagrantly illegal just to make the maps a little bit worse. Republicans seem to be trying to argue that's only change you should make. So they're admitting that they're illegal, but they're hoping for very unbalanced maps that still privilege and benefit their side. But what the case argues is that what the gerrymander, a permanent gerrymander, does is it's a violation of equal protection because some voters' votes matter more than others, and some are discriminated against because of their views, that people of progressive or democratic or moderate views literally do not have as much influence on government because these maps are set up to allow only conservative Republican voters to decide who has the lawmaking power and who can make laws in the state of Wisconsin. So there are some other elements of it in terms of constitutional provisions that relate to free government and freedom of association and equal protection. But that's the nub of it, that this is highly discriminatory and completely disempowers some voters and completely empowers others simply based on their views, their ideology.
You know, Dr. Craig, we can go back to the race that seated Justice Janet Protase, which, and the amount of money and the fanfare that went into that race and the amount of money that was spent. And at the root of all of it, for the most part, we're here, right? Had that race not been won by Janet Protase, which had people not organized and battled and fought the good fight, we wouldn't be here. And now because people did all of that, and so this is why we're on the precipice of turning this around. So, and I said all that to say this, Dr. Craig, if they were able to mobilize people to get this done, the battle is never over, but shouldn't this be a sign of what can happen if people are organized and willing to do the work? Hold the thought. You know, we've got to pay some bills. We'll be back on the other side. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is holding court. Dr. Craig, your thoughts on the comment I said before the break?
Yeah, it's a great comment. Taking a step back, you know the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Right.
The people who decided to take over the courts were the business community, the large corporations, and billionaires. And there was a Wisconsin part of the strategy funded by the biggest business lobby, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, that represents the big, powerful corporations and the billionaires behind them. They decided they couldn't pass their whole agenda, and so they could flood these sleepy state Supreme Court elections that were never, you know, like modern elections. They didn't have a whole ton of ads. They were undramatic, and take it over and then implement our agenda. So that's what started all this. And so when there was a popular uprising where the people decided, we don't want the imposition of an 1849 abortion law, we don't want feeling of Wisconsin democracy because only one party can win elections, can win the state senate or the state assembly. And there was an outpouring and they lost control. And now I don't have any even crocodile tears for them as they whine about how they're in the minority now and that voters knew, what their attack that they proposed impeaching Janet Protase, which was, is that voters knew what she stood for. What kind of undemocratic view is that? If we're going to elect state Supreme Court justices, on what other basis would we do so? Is the average voter going to scrutinize their legal credentials effectively? Are we going to get good information on that? It's absurd. I don't even know how to do that. And I'm a very connected, in-tune person, Earl.
No question. It's the reason we have you on every Wednesday. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I've got two observations about this. First of all, Republicans have been in absolute control of our government for a dozen years now. And yes, I'm sure that what Dr. Craig says is right. They are in abject fear of losing that control and somebody else taking it over in the same way. Even with a Democratic governor, they got their way in terms of school vouchers. They gave $3,000 to students out of the surplus, not having to raise taxes to private schools as welfare, but they allowed the public schools to float a referendum for $300 a student. So they've had that kind of control. This is for a dozen years. Second thing I want to mention is Rebecca Bradley is really pretty hypocritical about screaming about precedent.
It seems to me that
There was this little thing called, let me think now, lease change. I never heard of a legal precedent called lease change for redistricting until all of a sudden it magically came before the court. And talk about establishing something on the basis of zero precedent. That's got to be pretty close to the top of the list.
Hey, Jack.
Anyway, that's the end of my tirade for this morning.
Well, it's always good stuff. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Jack?
Right on. As usual, Jack is right on. Earl.
Yes, he always is.
And what he said about the lease change precedent, he's right. They conjured out of nowhere. Legal scholars around the country, given the importance of Wisconsin, scratch their heads about where it came from. And the fascinating thing was what Governor Evers did, and the Democrats, is they drew maps last time that had the least change and were more balanced. They were far from perfect. And they found a way to unconjure the least change and adopt the greater change of a Republican gerrymander that was worse than the last one. So this precedent was conjured, and then it was hocus pocus. It doesn't exist anymore. And now we have Rebecca Bradley standing up there. Who is she? Just a partisan hack. I see no basis for thinking she is some independent jurist we can have respect for on those grounds. She's just reading talking points, whether she understands it enough. Or not, she might as well just be a Fox News pundit.
Yeah, and you know, and she is without question one of the worst. And I remember when she first got elected, and I didn't really know who she was, and she came. I remember having her on my show from time to time. I didn't know who she was, and it was a major mistake on my part. Back then, because I didn't know who she was until she finally got into office and she revealed who she was. But Annette Ziegler, another one. They have certainly been around. Annette Ziegler has been around since 2007. And so she's been around. She knows what's been going on. And right now, what is about to transpire is a change that, Dr. Craig, we hope resonates. They still, I think, control how many state houses? What, over 30 Republicans and Supreme Courts? It's been a long time, a long ride, and hopefully this is the beginning of the changing of the tide.
No, and they tried to come up with legal doctrines to say state legislatures are supreme over everything, even federal elections, and they're doing it because they can dominate that, not because of anything that came out of any legitimate legal scholarship. That is funny, though, that you had Rebecca Bradley on your show.
Yeah, I supported her.
90-year-old.
Yes, I supported her. I didn't know who she was.
So I can imagine, because I remember you back in those days, and you were a younger, inexperienced talk host, and your partner in the morning with Eric Vaughn. So Eric Vaughn probably had a chuckle about that.
Yeah. So, you know, when we come back, we're gonna discuss a lot of different things. Dr. Craig, as we move into the holiday, our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. You know, this is generally, Dr. Craig, a quiet time on the state level, but not now. We'll be right back.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on, and we're talking about the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, and really the case that everybody's talking about, and that's the what's the term I'm looking for? Dr. Craig.
Which term are all
the Supreme Court, the case that we're talking about right now.
The redistricting.
Yeah, the redistricting. I don't know why I lost control of that thought. But anyway, let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning, Dr. Craig. First, I want to just say I'm very thankful for your show and thankful for Civic Media. And I hope everyone knows that they can download that app at civicmedia.us, and they can actually just go to their Apple or Google Play Store and put in Civic Media and download it all around the country the way I do for all of us past Wisconsinites that have actually left the state. I also want to say that we the people ultimately are the government. What I don't understand, and I really mean this to fair-minded Republicans out there, listeners, that Wisconsin has always been a state that has been about fairness. It's always been about helping your next-door neighbor. It's always been about doing the right thing, and I don't think anybody would want to win a Packer game by cheating. And honestly, that's what's been happening in Wisconsin over this number of years with the Republicans putting the maps in a way that don't even draw a perfect square or anything like that. They're just wrong, and it's cheating. I don't know if it's going to really benefit the Dems or not. I don't care if it benefits the Dems. I care about fairness, and I care about equality, and I care about equity in terms of the vote and our small d democracy. So I hope that people really do, you know, examine their own conscience and say, you know, I mean, obviously they did because Janet won by so much and they knew where she stood. But I hope they really examine their conscience and say, you know what, do I really want to win a game or do I really want to win an election because I cheated or the way that it's been? I just hope people wake up and realize on this Thanksgiving time that, you know what, it's time to actually put your ideas out there, put your policies out there, and let people vote.
Hey, Tom, great stuff as always, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. You know, Dr. Craig, I was, before we went to break, I was, you know, talking about how hard people worked to get Justice Protasiewicz elevated to the position she's in. But the work never ends. I mean, you guys, there's a battle now. You can't ever rest on your laurels. There's a bigger issue to deal with now. 2024 is around the corner. And it just for all the world, Dr. Craig, nothing is ever easy, right? I mean, that's why you got to organize. It's why you got to knock on doors. That's probably and was one of the root reasons why Janet Protasiewicz won. Just a ground game and reaching out to everybody you can. You got to magnify that even more in 2024.
I couldn't agree more. And I guess, you know, there's a kind of stereotype that people get soft with age, right?
Well, right.
Democracies get soft with age. And there are a lot of folks who've forgotten or don't know, haven't read about how incredibly hard people work for generations, for centuries to even create a democracy,
right,
out of authoritarian forms of government, monarchies at that time, and other forms in that nature. And having it, how hard it was to get it and keep it, say the Civil War that a lot of Wisconsinites bled and died in, right? People now think that they don't have to play a role, but democracy is a spectator sport. And our biggest problem is not enough people participate. There are a lot of people who are interested, who follow it on social media, watch cable TV, listen to radio. It can't stop there because it's not, you can't throw a touchdown pass. We're spectators when it comes to the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks, right? Or the UW. We're not spectators in democracy. And so more people need to get out there and volunteer and join organizations like the one I lead, CIS National Wisconsin, because that's the only way you have a government that is responsive to the actual needs of the people. Otherwise, the big special interests will rule at the Capitol, as they do now. And as they just did, I just found out from a state fed or just got a text that just before your show, Earl, that governor's going to be signing the $500 million in public money for a billionaire owner of a baseball team on December 6th at American Family Field, of course, at the field we built for the billionaire.
Yeah, you know, I just didn't understand the governor's position on that. You know, he's not running again, right? So he
floated. He wanted a third term at the convention, Earl.
Well, but Dr. Craig, he's 70 now, and he just got reelected, and well, so you know it's years down the road. But I just couldn't understand how, on the one hand, you know, he's pushing back on people who did not want to, you know, give $375 million to make sure that parents and families and children would be protected with daycare. But yet he pushed back against the $2 billion tax break for, you know, the wealthiest amongst us, but then turn around and sign a $500 million bill, you know, for the Brewers. I'm kind of confused on that, Dr. Craig.
I think it says a lot about power in this state and who dominates, because that Brewer subsidy, 70% public opposition in the one statewide poll. If you ask them, do you want to spend it on this? You want to spend it on education, childcare, other core government services. So unpopular. Everyone who has done doors on it, any state legislator knows, it is not popular. But the voice of the corporate class is so strong that Governor Evers and Robin Voss aligned on this. And I think the disappointing thing here is that we know Governor Evers didn't want to give voucher schools an historic increase and underfund public education as district after district comes out with budget cuts and school closures because of what was done in public schools. But he gave into it, my side believes, without fighting as hard as he could have fought, right? Because that position was unpopular. The public wants public school education, both K through 12 and university system, which they cut, to be funded. And so he didn't fight as hard, but he pulled out all the stops for this and twisted arms. I'm told by state senators, there's only one other time on one other issue he ever, that his team ever lobbied the way they lobbied on this. So it's disturbing, and it shows that Voss and Evers are not always the opponents they're portrayed as, that they can align when it comes to the interests of a billionaire. And it's another sign that we have an unresponsive, undemocratic government, that something this unpopular can still happen when we're so underfunding child care, public education, health care, the things people really want in our state and voters would like if they were represented in our government. So Governor Evers, to give it nuance, wouldn't have signed off on the budget he got. He was forced by a gerrymandered legislature, but I do think he's critiquable for not causing a budget impasse and having and going all out to fight them and to expose them to the public.
Well,
that's my concern.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, and again, the fact that this was not the most important issue, it didn't have to get solved now. There was time, you know, to negotiate this, but to make it the number one issue and get it done is where I really have a tough time with that, Dr.
It's
Craig.
Stunning. The lease lasts another 7 years. They kept saying they're about to move. They're not. Evers' folks were telling state senators that if we don't do this by November, that they're leaving. Well, there's nowhere for them to leave. There's no city offering them another deal. And when they float Nashville, first of all, Nashville hasn't approved a huge stadium deal. And second, multiple owners are shaking down their states, including the owner of the Chicago White Sox, claiming they'll move to Nashville. They can't all move to Nashville. What is very well reported is this is a Major League Baseball strategy. They all want it now because they're trying to lock all the existing states and cities into massive public subsidies before they expand and have a big lottery for new cities like Nashville, for example, and Charlotte and San Antonio or Portland, Oregon, that might want teams.
Hang on, Dr. Craig. Hey, Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Well, you see, remember in the old times when the people would go for a very important position in the government, it always would talk about like a family value and their kids and everything like that. Robin Bosch had 3 marriages, no kids.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about it. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't care about it. It's beyond his mentality. His mentality is taxes, and that's what he's pushing for. Also, I want to say that it's Earl, it's a sad thing to see that from time where the Wisconsin state started up as a state, and when the slavery were a question for a whole country, Wisconsin state, I believe, and Dr. Greg maybe correct me because honestly, I don't know the history very well. Wisconsin state was one of the states saying, or just one single state saying, that if the country as is would not repute the slavery or cancel the slavery, they will come out of union. That was Wisconsin. And where are we now? Why are we not proud of our history? Why in the movie? So why in the whole country, if it's a Wisconsin, we're like hillbillies or something? We had a wonderful socialistic party with, look how many parks we have. Look how many things we have for people to go to, even for free. why are we not moving into that direction?
So, Corina, there's no question that the Wisconsin of yesterday is no longer here, and you know, the social aspect of it has been weaned. And, you know, Dr. Craig and others, you know, people are fighting the battle to get back on track. But, Corina, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Corina's absolutely right.
Dr. Craig, let's do this. Let's do this. We've got to pay some bills. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Season. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Corina? She's talking about bygone days of our state.
Well, she's right about the proud heritage of Wisconsin, and that's partly why I moved to the state when I was choosing graduate schools 30 years ago. What she talked about slavery is true. Slavery, there was a takeover of the Supreme Court before modern times. It was the court that made the Dred Scott decision. It was controlled by advocates for slavery. And they nationalized slavery in the Dred Scott decision. They ruled that black folks were not included in the Constitution or even its rights, and that they had no right. This is a quote from the Supreme Court Justice Roger Taney, that any white man was bound to respect. I mean, that's how bad it was. Wisconsin's state Supreme Court actually nullified it in Wisconsin and declared it a free state and ruled that anyone who got to Wisconsin was now free, whether they were fugitive or whether they were, and they also resisted the Federal Fugitive Slave Act, or whether a slave owner brought them there voluntarily, they became free. So we were a radically anti-slavery state, and then we had fought above our weight class in the Civil War that ended slavery and created our first experiment in multiracial democracy under Reconstruction, which was tragically lost to Jim Crow. Then, in the 20th century, Earl, we invented a lot of the modern progressive reforms, workers' compensation, unemployment insurance. Corina referred to the socialists and the incredible innovations in how to run city government that they did in Milwaukee. And fighting Bob La Follette and the progressive statewide set the model for the New Deal and the Great Society. A lot of what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did was actually modeled on what Wisconsin had already achieved. So it's a shame what's happened. In fact, the people who would have been defending slavery now have rigged our democracy to dominate it. But now they feel threatened, as a couple of your callers said, Tom and Jack. But we've got to stay engaged, and people are going to be volunteering, Earl, to restore Wisconsin, not only to have a democracy, but for us to become the leader again in the kind of country this can be and ought to be.
Well said, Dr. Craig. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy Thanksgiving. Real quick,
You know, I just kind of got a question and a statement. Now, the stadium, I do believe the work needed to be done. And if it wasn't done, we'd end up with, like, the domes, where it's so obsolete now it's going to cost a mere fortune to fix it. Other thing about it is, wasn't County Stadium, like, 50-some years old, and they tore that down? And by the time the Brewers' contract will be up, it's going to be time to build another stadium. Kind of like with the Bradley Center, when that the same time that was built, I believe there were maybe four or six other arenas that were brand new built about the same time the Bradley Center was. And when they tore the Bradley Center down, that was the oldest arena now in the country, or at least at that time when those other ones were built. Those other ones were already torn down, and we still had the
so,
Bradley
Tom,
Center.
The question, you're right on those things, but the question is, we don't have any resources to help with daycare, which is more important than any multi-billionaires or millionaires sports stadium. And so no problem when it comes to tax dollars for billionaires and sports, but we don't have any money when it comes to the most important aspect of our government, and that's the citizens.
Well, I also remember that we either have $4 or $7 billion surplus. Why aren't we using that money? Real quick, when did it become fashionable that when any corporation moves to either our state, our city, or anywhere else in the United States, the government has to pony up money to give them tax breaks in order for them to do it? And speaking of tax breaks, Fiserv Forum, we gave Fiserv like a quarter of a billion dollars in federal or state help. And then a year or two later, Fiserv ponied up $240,000 for the naming rights of the Fiserv Forum. So what is that all about?
Hey,
why
are Tom,
people questioning that? I mean, I'm glad they're here, but wow.
I wish we had more time, man. Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Bill from Oconomowoc. Quickly, Bill.
Real quick, Earl, I did pass along the Carters as a legend in the classes I teach. With Thanksgiving, let's be thankful for what we have, not what we don't have. And last but not least, until you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, likewise, sir. Thank you. Dr. Craig, you want to respond quickly?
Let me add on what Tom said about the Brewers. It's not a dilapidated stadium. And it is very much like what Tom said at the end about how every company shakes us down if they're going to come here or they're going to stay here. It's just another shakedown. And they're paying much less percentage than the Bucks owners did of it. It's a sweetheart deal. It doesn't have treaty benefits. We own the stadium. They get the benefits. They get even the proceeds of events that aren't Brewers events there. The land isn't taxed. The parking lot isn't taxed. It's unbelievable. And quite frankly, the team gains $190 million in value every year. This billionaire can afford to maintain the stadium, which is highly profitable, and still make a massive profit and have a gain in his assets every year. And he doesn't doing it because they can get away with it, Earl. There's no justification. And economic development is often very corrupt. And this is another example of it. And this is more like Foxconn. This is on a bigger scale than the common graft you see in economic development policy.
Hey, Dr. Craig, thank you, man. As always, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Tell Ted likewise, and we'll see you on the other side.
Will do. Thank you, Earl.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for, you know, taking the time out. It's Thanksgiving. Realize what the season is all about. Hope you enjoy this with your family, and I'll see you again on Monday. See you later, Calvin. Make that turkey great.
I will. Same to you.
Bye-bye.